The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, you got it!
It's time for episode 668 of Who Charted, the show where comedians and entertainers and anybody discuss the top five in music and movies. Congratulations, you have reached checkpoint Rocktober on our journey back to summer. I'm your host, H. Michael Cray. Howard Kramer, and with me as always is Brett, Peter, Pietro, Peter, Morris, Stard. What's up, Stard?
What's up? How's it going? How's autumn
treating
you so far?
Pretty good. I freestyled that intro as some... So far, it's pretty good.
I almost got the sense that I was supposed to jump in, and then I realized, like, wait, I never jump in at this point.
Yeah, it was odd. I felt like I was... You need inviting you to do that for no reason. No, I freestyled the intro there.
Nice.
So we'll see.
It's only been like 12 years.
Yeah.
You know?
Next week, I'll go back to reading. But autumn so far. I don't know. I like this part of autumn because we have the build up to Halloween.
Yeah.
It's after that for me, it gets dicey.
I think the Halloween thing is given to us as a way to just spice up the beginning of autumn.
Yes.
Make us feel like we're in for a real fun time.
Yeah. It's autumn's boob job. It's attached. Just says Christmas is winter's boob job. They got a whole bunch of stuff going on. That's why summer is so great. We didn't need to stick in you don't need to get presents to enjoy it.
That's right. I'm looking forward to this week's Rocktober guest.
Super excited. And look, here he comes now. Wow. You know him from past episodes of Who Charted and from the new album. And that's why Dolphins Lost Their Legs. It's out now. Go grab it. And it's Islands, Nick Thorburn.
Thank you for waiting for the drop.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was entranced. I was speechless. Thank you.
Right on.
Great to be back. Great to be back.
Since you've been on the charts, a lot of things have happened. Taylor Swift rose to power in a way that none of us could see coming. Or maybe we did. Who knows? But it's great to have you back, and we'll catch up on what's going on the charts.
The Swift movement, it befuddles me. I got to say, I'm afraid to speak about it because I don't want the Swifties to come after me. But I don't get it. I truly don't understand the Beatlemania of it all.
Yeah. We've been going through it on this show, just trying to unpack it.
Trying to make sense.
Figure out like what it means, what we're looking at.
Perhaps it's like a comfort food. It's a place of emotional safety in this effed up world. Like it's a place where
I
people
think that's
can
a big
go
part of
and
it
feels safe and cute and
whatever floats your boat.
I think she speaks to the American white girl sensibility the way that like Bob Seger speaks to like a American white dad.
Ah, yeah, there
it's
you go.
It's the perfect synergy. Yeah, those two.
Yeah.
She gets to be.
They should tour together.
They should.
Yeah, they should.
Or at least do a song.
Imagine the demographic in that.
Oh my God, like, it would be game over.
Dads We'd and all daughters. Be,
Dads and daughters like
my
crazy.
God.
The dads and daughters tour.
Take your daughter to work day.
Dads driving their daughters on Harleys to the show.
A lot of white tennis shoes at that show.
Hell yeah.
Oh my God.
All right. Shall we get into the music chart?
Let's do it.
First, you will rap the history of recorded music.
Yes. Your wish is my command. Music. We used to play LPs, 8-tracks, cassettes, and CDs. Now we download and we stream. What's next? GPT? Tunes. All right.
Was that off the dome?
Speaking of tunes. No. That one's practice. Okay. I guess if I have a beat behind me, I can remember things.
Right.
But he's not reading the lyrics, right? That is memorized.
No, that's
lyrics.
Not reading. Yeah, those are memorized.
Nice.
I go Jay-Z on those.
Never write it down.
Okay, we got the top five on Spotify.
All right.
Here we go. Coming in at number five.
Number five.
I Remember Everything by Zach Bryan and Casey Musgraves. Pictures and passing time, you only smile like that when you're drinking. I wish I didn't, but I do. Remember every moment on the nights with you. You're drinking everything to ease your mind. But where the hell are you gonna ease mine? You're like
Concrete
Feet in the Summer Heat.
Ooh.
There we go.
Concrete Feet in the Summer Heat. I don't understand it, but I like it.
Yeah, it's like a musical hangover.
It's a bit of a mixed metaphor, but let's breeze right over that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Concrete Shoes is Mafia.
Where are you going there? What was her name?
Casey Musgraves.
Oh, okay, right.
Have you ever sang a duet like that with a lady where you're going back and forth at it?
I did one duet with a friend. We recorded it, mixed it. It was like a single, but never released it. It was fun.
It's fun. Like
because of her? Did you blame her for not releasing it?
Well, I just didn't know how to release it. Like, she has a band. She's from New York. Her name's Heather. She has a band called Bow. Really cool band. Mm-hmm. B-E-A-U. But I didn't know how to put it out, but it was, or what it would be called or what. Yeah. It was just this one-off thing. But it's a cool song. One day it'll see the light of day, I hope.
I always think that with all these songs that are, you know, collabs and featurings and stuff, it always seems to me like so complicated, like legally to put that stuff out and share the rights and different labels and stuff like that.
You don't know what button to click on DistroKid.
Right.
Whatever it is.
Just leave it blank and then it does like DK12786544.
But the duet's interesting. I mean, it's like a guy's voice can sound a certain way on its own, but then takes on a kind of a different quality when it's mixed with, the right pairing, I guess. Like the way Dolly used to sing with Porter Wagoner or whatever.
Certain
pairings.
Or even not even a gender thing, but like Wu-Tang, you know, where you get like flavor of voice and then that flavor of voice. And you get this... It activates some part of your brain, I think. Mm-hmm. I think that's why Brett, you know, spoiler alert, full disclosure, Brett plays in Mr. Heavenly with me and Ryan. And we're not active currently, but that's a nice thing where we can have a little bit of those two textured voices, I think. And it's nice for the listener, I think, to hear that
shift.
And
then what does Star do?
Yeah.
Just kidding.
I'm supporting them, you know. I'll do some choreography, you know, while they're trading off.
Command them to do certain harmonies like when I record with you?
Yeah, we just do whatever.
No,
it's
nice. There's no producing necessary on my part with this band. Just play bass.
I mean, it's been like 7 years since we've played a show.
Sure.
Hey, there was Pandy, you know. Everybody lost a few years there.
True.
That's right.
It got weird.
Got weird.
All right, coming in at number four.
Number four.
Bad Bunny with Monaco. All caps.
Whoa, that's cool. Sounds like the future.
Yeah.
It sounds so gangster. I mean, that would scare the hell out of you. You're tied up and a guy's going, oh, yo, 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 yo. It's like the,
giving you a lot of instructions.
Yeah.
In a language you don't understand.
You know, that Brando with the cotton in his mouth, you know, just.
Yeah.
It's very Brando-esque.
Do you have any guest appearances on this new Islands record? Which is fantastic, by the way.
Thank you. We have some players who jumped in and played. Casey Butler played sax on some songs.
Good friend.
Michael Sarah played piano on one song, Too Far Gone. Mike Stroud produced and played on the song Pelican, from Mike Stroud from Ratatat. So we had a few people coming in and adding their flavor.
Do you have a kazoo guy?
We don't. We're actually actively looking for a kazoo guy, if you know anyone.
They're easy to tour with.
Yeah, the crosstown traffic guy. The guy who did Crosstown Traffic, Jimi Hendrix, he's probably dead.
Is there a kazoo in that song?
I'm pretty sure it's a kazoo.
Whoa. That's a total new factoid for me. I got to investigate that.
Yeah. If we Google that, it'll fall apart, but...
I want to see the like flight case that the kazoo player brings on tour.
Yeah, exactly.
Just giant on wheels, just
a beautiful gator case.
Yeah,
right. With just one kazoo in it.
Yeah, one tiny kazoo in this giant wheeled
wheeled case. I just got a huge like pedal board case in the mail that I forgot. I ordered it literally years ago.
Uh huh.
From Sweetwater.
Oh, yeah.
Our friends at Sweetwater. And they just had my address wrong, and I completely forgot about it.
Whoa.
And then it just arrived yesterday, and it's like the last thing I actually need in my life right now. Like,
yeah, right.
This huge, like, touring pedalboard case. And then with a little pack of candy that was probably shipped two years ago. Yeah, the candy was in there.
It's like a case for your candy.
Yeah.
Travel case for candy.
Yeah, the taffy that they put in there that is candy nobody wants.
Yeah. Do you have a pretty good relationship with your Sweetwater sales rep?
I have too good of a relationship. I feel like they're always calling me and asking if I need anything. It's like, I'll let you know. I'm good.
Yeah. Your mic clips?
Yeah, my new mic clips.
Yeah.
How's your energy lately? You been eating enough? Like, they're all up in it.
I noticed you haven't been to the dentist in 6 months.
yeah.
All that candy we've been sending you is not helping.
Good dental. That's where they get
you. That's where they get you. Yeah, they're in with big dental.
Yeah.
All right, coming in at number three.
Number three.
It's Taylor Swift's Cruel Summer.
Yeah, you want to just interpretive dance.
Yeah.
You can't help it.
That's what she does.
That's what the Swifties do. I guess, you know, the synths are kind of cool. I don't know. It's just, it's all very rounded.
It's baby's first.
It's very
baby's
smooth.
First album.
It's,
you know what I mean?
It's very rounded. Everything feels sanded down. It's very smooth.
Yes. There's no sharp edges like poking out anywhere.
I don't think that's going to age well. Like, I just think we're going to look back on this time as like we went too far. We over-smoothed everything. It's kind of like this HDification where it's like, I need my screen to be 8K. It's like, you don't actually. You don't need to hear every detail. Like, we want things to be raw and spontaneous and... I think we're gonna have a backlash to that. I predict. I hope
so too. Let's get some gritty stuff going.
Yeah.
I guess some of the kids are doing the music where it already sounds distorted.
Right. That is happening too.
Maybe that's the counter.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe both can exist. Yeah. JPEG Mafia.
I don't usually like the way that sounds unless it's a hip hop song where it's like, I expect it.
Yeah. The new JPEG Mafia and Danny Brown album has really good dirty production.
Nice. Interesting. All right. Coming in number two.
Number two.
Mieski with My Love, Mine, All Mine.
She's not going to date a football player with this tune.
No. She's going to maybe a lacrosse player.
Lacrosse goalie.
I kind of dig her. She's got like almost a Mazzy Star thing going on.
I'm impressed this is charting so high. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Must be in a Halloween movie on Amazon or something. Something is driving.
I feel like I've heard her on TV somewhere.
Cool.
There you go.
Any horror tracks like that on And That's Why Dolphins Lost Their Legs?
It's all horror. Every track.
Losing legs is pretty...
Yeah, it's grim.
Pretty gruesome.
Yeah.
We were talking before the show about, that title.
Yes.
And you were saying, you're about to say something about it. You're saying it's about our origins.
Yes. Well, so the joke is, 50 million years ago or whatever, dolphins and whales, which are mammals, were once land mammals, and they went into the ocean. They went, if you think that we all came from the ocean, they took one look around, the joke being that they took one look around at how awful life on Earth is and went back into the ocean.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, that's why, because life sucks. And that's kind of the theme of the record is life sucks.
And that's why they lost it. So what were they before they were dolphins?
They were like dog-like creatures.
Dog-like,
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You got to work pretty hard to go back in there and lose your legs.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you
got
to work
a choice.
For a long time
on
sanding down those legs.
Right. You listen to a lot of Taylor Swift.
Rubbing them on the coral. Like, yeah.
Yeah, that's almost like the spiritual sequel, Howard, to our song Tiktaalik.
Yeah, with Tiktaalik, he came out of the water, and then we say he never should have came out. So
right,
it's a similar concept.
What's really interesting that there actually did exist a dog type thing that was right with us was like, I'm going back. Like, fuck this.
That I love. You guys are on the level. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then isn't there, the bear's closest relative is like the hippo or something like that? Like the bear's closest relative is something that's in the water, fish or something like that.
Walrus maybe?
Maybe
I think
a walrus.
That's what I'm reading.
Yeah, so then you wonder with them.
Seal, walrus.
You know.
Yeah. Maybe one of them was just getting some salmon and just like didn't want to come back out.
Yeah.
You're getting all your food from the ocean, or the river.
Right. Yeah. That was the move before emo. You just said F it.
All right. Coming in at number one.
Number one.
Drake, IDGAF, featuring Yeet. I'm assuming this is Yeet.
There we go.
Where's Drake? What's he doing? Penny
X. Counting money.
Yeah.
Guy's hiding on his own track.
I like when the beat hit.
Yeah.
Yeah, good beat.
pretty heavy.
That's cool. I'm tired of trap hi-hats, though. We got to move on from that.
Oh, for sure.
Interesting. Yeah, those have been around for a while.
Yeah. The 808.
Feels like a cliche already.
Yeah, we got to find a new drum machine to sample from. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, what would be a lesser brand we could go to? Maybe
707?
Or yeah, 707.
I think I have one of those. 808.
Yeah. They're not very versatile, but...
It's fun.
Yeah.
Fun, maybe fun like with. One of those Boss drum machines, one of those things.
Yeah.
I think we should go back to the little monkey on the drums.
That's probably what we should do.
Wind them up.
Yeah.
You know?
Just have the one band. Yeah, the one man band with the monkey.
It's just old vintagey toys.
Nick, you use drum machines a lot, right? Do you go back to the 808 or do you have a favorite?
I used an 808 on the new record. We used an 808. The producer, Chris Cody, had one at his studio. And it was broken, actually. The snare that you hear on that song, Too Far Gone, off the new record, we use the 808 snare, which is not typically what people use from the 808 is the bass and the hi-hats. But the snare was really had this broken sound, which was really cool. So we used that. And the first Unicorns record is all 707 drum machine. I like, it's a good flavor. It's a good ingredient, I think, with live drums to mix in.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've heard over the last few years, a lot of the country acts bringing in the 808 and the beats.
Weird.
But it works on some of it. But some of it works.
Diplomatic.
It's as good as we can say about most music. Some of it works.
You guys have a hard job, man. I would just be trashing everything every week.
That's what we do. That's what we do.
Good.
Yeah.
You have no problem trashing it. But yeah, that's the music chart.
Oh, right on. Well, Taylor's still in charge and we'll let you know when she's not.
It is the interesting thing about this show, though, where the music chart tends to feel like last week's music chart and like the week before that.
Right.
You're kind of like, okay, right. this is a boring period of time, isn't it? But then when you look back through the show, you're like, oh, wait, we were there when this song came out and then that song came out and that actually was an important track. And
right.
You kind of only see the importance of
looking back
sometimes.
I can't imagine. Yeah, what was it like when Wet Ass Pussy came out? Were you guys, did you get it at first? Or?
Yeah, first, I remember distinctly, I got, of course, the raunch factor and why that titillated people.
We had good 2-3 months of that Wet Ass Pussy.
The song itself at first felt a little bit like, what's the huge deal about this song?
Yeah.
But
it wasn't Bodak Yellow, but it was a different animal. But that is the tunes. And we'll be right back with the movie chart.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Is that a Ronald McDonald cookie jar?
Oh, wow. It sure is.
Whoa.
Will you mail it to me?
Do you want it?
No, I mean, you don't have to, but it is cool.
I got it at the Rose Bowl like 10 years ago.
Oh, it's nice. Yeah,
I don't use it for anything. Just kind of sits there.
But. You don't put your cookies in there?
I hid drugs there once and then forgot. I hid them there. And for months and months, I was like, dang, where are those drugs? And then found them.
Right,
and I mean aspirin, if anyone.
It looks like Ronald took them, whatever.
He's blissful.
It's funny, if a stranger came in and you told them there are drugs hidden somewhere, they would probably look there first.
They would. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a good place for drugs. Hiding in plain sight.
That's right.
All right. Shall we get in the movie chart?
Yes. Let's do it.
I'm H. Michael Cray, and I'm here with our guest, Nick and
Brett.
And this is the movie chart. Movies, they used to be too silent. Nowadays, they're too loud and violent. For most of them, I am not a client. People on the big screen are giant. Movies. Yeah, I had some, I was hearing the beat wrong, so sorry about that.
Oh, wow.
Sounded great.
After all that 808 talk.
Yeah, then I couldn't find the kick or the snare.
All right. Coming in at number five.
Number five.
This is an interesting movie chart this week. I will tell you that. More interesting than the music chart. Coming in at number five. It's The Nightmare Before Christmas.
It's back?
I guess it's back. Re-release. On the chart. Did you know this came out in 93?
I did.
That sounds early.
Doesn't that seem way early to you?
That seems exactly when it came out. I remember seeing it in theaters. Yeah.
To me, it seems like a 95, 96. To a place where every day is Halloween and every night, Jack Skellington. I am the Pumpkin King! Dreams of something different. What is this? It's someplace new.
There it is, the confusingly titled Nightmare Before Christmas.
It's a Christmas movie.
Both a Halloween and a Christmas movie.
Right, genius.
Yeah, it is pretty brilliant.
But when I watch it, I'm looking for a Halloween movie because I watch it in October.
Right.
And then they've already got me into Christmas. And they skip Thanksgiving.
They're like midwifing you into, but it's breezing right over Thanksgiving. It's true.
Yeah.
But in Canada, that wasn't a problem. See, I saw this movie in theaters in Canada, our Thanksgiving is in early October. So it was perfect for me.
Interesting. Perfect. So in the world market, there are not the same problems.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't there a sort of quasi thing in Canada that you do around Thanksgiving time?
Yeah, it's called Thanksgiving.
Oh.
And it's the exact same, basically.
And you're thankful for us taking land from the natives?
Basically. It's a little watered down. There's not a like pilgrim settler kind of thing. There's more of a
just like gratitude. Thank God we have Canada.
Yeah, thank God we have this bounty.
I've been wanting to ask a Canadian this recently. What is nippy cheese? I just heard about this.
Nippy cheese?
Just heard that term recently.
I have never in my life heard that.
You've never heard of nippy cheese?
No.
No. Wow. No, it should be.
Maybe it's an Ontario thing. I'm a West Coast guy, so maybe
that's pretty different. Huh?
That sounds like a weird Ontario thing. Is it like bags of cheese? Because you know they have bags of milk, right? In Canada.
I have heard of that.
Yeah.
Who does that?
Grocery stores, you buy these big bags and then you slip it into your jug. Everyone has a plastic jug at home and then you use the milk from the bag. You cut it with a scissor. I don't understand, but that's how I grew up with milk. It was in bags. Yeah.
No other liquid comes like that. It's just milk.
But what is, but what is nippy cheese?
I don't know. I've been asking people. I saw this old Canadian footage. It was like TV, black and white, very like this housewife presenting the idea of a pizza, like for people for the first time. Maybe it was like the tasty. First time. And she was like, you put nippy cheese on it.
Weird.
Yeah.
Hold on. Sauce. What is nippy cheese? It's cheesy dip that blends together extra sharp cheddar with fresh horseradish. I should have made that a quiz.
Oh, wow.
Damn.
That sounds good.
Horseradish and cheddar.
Okay. Nippy.
Okay. I'm not mad at that. I'm not furious. I wouldn't eat it. That. No. But if it was on a bowl, if you're at a party and there's like chips and dip and some.
Yeah, nippy. I might try to dip it.
Yeah. Yeah. I might try to dip it.
I don't know.
You don't like horseradish?
I do, but I mean, I just know it from like a Bloody Mary or something like that. I don't like, oh, this food needs some horseradish. Like, right. I don't know.
All right. Coming in, number four.
Booze deal. Number four.
Paw Patrol.
I'm a wrecking ball. Surf's up. Look at your paws. Great. Now the clumsy pup shoots fireballs out of his paws.
A new breed of heroes.
Superpowers are real.
Hits the big screen.
We're going to need a new name for
ourselves. Paw Patrol. I love it. Police propaganda for kids. I mean, can't go wrong. Yeah. You can't go wrong. Get them young.
Oh, my God. I did this show just down on Oceanside this past weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And there were these young kids that were at the show, just like skater kids. And they just come up after the show and they're just saying to all the comedians, you got to start slamming the dems. Like, this is down in Orange County.
Okay.
These kids just come up. They just look like regular skater, little teenagers. They're like, you guys, man, you got to start slamming the dems.
What is it? Like, oh, the dems. I see what you're saying.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Of course. It's Orange County.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, these kids are growing up just to thwart everything that the 15-year-olds around here are growing up to do. Uh-huh. Like, they're just going to clash in 10 years.
Dude, but that's like,
wild.
I feel like Orange County invented that own the libs attitude. Like, they were yeah. they were doing
so
that
OC.
Like in the 80s and 90s. Yeah. And mm-hmm. I went to school with a lot of those kids. They're like Republican punks.
Mm-hmm.
Very strange.
I think that's what makes Blink 182 possible, isn't it?
Yeah.
That blending of rebellion, but you're also the overseers at the same time.
Mm. Right. And you're incredibly suburban. Like, Irvine is like the most planned community, I think, in California.
Mm.
Like, it's just a grid. And you're right. It's like the most suburban place. But then a lot of weirdos come out of that area. But then they still have their mom and dad's politics. It's very, very interesting.
It is.
Coming in at number three.
Number three.
The Exorcist Believer.
Good day. Hey, be home by dinner.
I love you. Good morning, Mr. Fielding.
Morning, Catherine.
And here are your daughters, Angela and Catherine. It's about 7 hours ago, and that's the last information we have.
Catherine!
Angela, if
you can. Are you a horror movie guy, Nick?
No, I'm too scared of horror movies. I just saw The Exorcist last week, the original, for the first time.
For the first time?
Yeah.
Wow, that's what did you think?
I thought it was great.
I mean, that's a scary one.
Yeah, it was cool.
It's a great,
I thought it was
a great movie.
But yeah,
you weren't scared though?
I was spooked, I would say. I was freaked.
Omen is scary too from back then with Damien. The Omen.
Oh yeah, I couldn't watch that. No.
I feel like with The Exorcist, I think it holds up like perfectly well.
Yeah.
But I do think I remember from childhood and pre-internet days where it just felt like it was a real story more. Like in the way it was sold to you and the way everyone seemed to talk about that movie was like, this one's different. Like this is based off something that really happened and it's so fucking scary.
Yeah.
And so that all that like would be in your head as you watched it. And it just felt like on a different level.
Yeah. It's definitely on a different level than like your slasher flick. You know, it has a lot more going on.
It has a storyline. Like Rosemary's Baby, same thing. They take a while to set it up. A lot of it seems like a regular movie in a lot of ways.
Rosemary's Baby is fascinating to watch. Like the pacing of it and the tone of it, how it's just, it doesn't even feel like a horror movie until
it's cerebral.
End.
Yeah, it's not like jump scares.
It's just like a nice 60s like vibe for the most part.
Yeah, this girl's going to have a baby and she's excited.
Yeah.
What's the problem? Yeah.
Yeah.
End the movie like 30 minutes before and it's Kind of a nice movie.
That's where it should end, as far as I'm concerned. I'm with you. I don't like the horror movies too much.
Yeah.
I just don't like they're going into such dire circumstances. It's like it just feels stressful from the moment you go in to the moment you come out.
Totally. It's why I don't like roller coasters either. It's like, why put yourself through that?
I like both.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't need the stress.
Nope. Same. Got enough.
All right. Coming in number two.
Number two.
Killers of the Flower Moon. This one's a big deal. This is Scorsese.
Whose land is this?
Oh, yeah.
My land.
Seems like one of his most important movies in a while.
Well, 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 our war hero has arrived.
De Niro, DiCaprio.
We'll say you're the finest, wealthiest,
DiGiorno.
The most beautiful people on God's earth. They outsmarted everybody. They have the faith. Who gets the oil? Son, I got a question. You like women?
That's my weakness.
I read something, though, that Leonardo improvised, you know, like a few scenes, and it went very poorly.
Really?
Like, yeah, I think Scorsese said something about that. Like it didn't always go so well.
Right.
Usually you hear those stories and you're like, my God, he improvised
that. What's the basic gist on this one?
All right, let's see here. At the turn of the 20th century, oil brought a fortune to the Asaji nation. Right, I'm not sure how you say that. Who became one of the richest people in the world overnight. The wealth of these Native Americans immediately attracted white interlopers who manipulated, extorted, and stole as much money as they could before resorting to murder.
No.
Based on a true story.
Where is this? In what state?
Montana? Osage.
I thought it was on the moon.
Yes, the flower moon.
Yeah.
The natives they were up there on the moon where they weren't supposed to be. And then the government had to go chase them out.
It's in Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. Right.
Yeah.
I dated a Choctaw from Oklahoma. And a lot of them, it's strange because a lot of them didn't start out in Oklahoma. That's where they marched them to.
They were forced there, right?
Yeah, Trail of Tears.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know the exact dates on that. This is probably, I wonder if it's like, land that got granted to them in a treaty, and then the oil was found. Like Deadwood, a lot of Deadwood is about that. They just keep rewriting the treaties. But it does look exciting. People are excited about it. I was in a van full of comics heading to a gig, and the one guy goes, I just saw this movie last night. I got to tell you about one scene that's really fucking with my head. And everybody in the van was like, no, shut up. Don't. No spoilers. Like, usually I'm the only one saying that kind of stuff. But this time, everybody was interested.
Yeah. You can tell from the trailer, which usually trailers all kind of suck to me. But this one, I don't know, you can feel like a quality difference. It feels like it's an important movie. But
you should get a trailer guy on here to debate with you.
I know, I would like that. I've heard theories about trailers too, where it's just like there's no incentive for the people behind trailers to actually make them enticing and to not spoil things and to give you the perfect amount of information.
Isn't the incentive to get you to see it, and then they keep getting hired to cut trailers for studios?
Right. They want you to see it, but also I think they've gotten more and more spoilery.
Yeah.
And they don't care. Like, the numbers show that doesn't matter.
Right.
Oh, I see.
I hate the trend where it's always this musical, everything's cut on the rhythm, and there's this like...
Yeah,
the
yeah.
action has this like percussive element. It's very
they're annoying. All the same edit.
Yeah, it's probably the same, you know, company that's cutting all of these, but I find it very annoying.
They're like those remixes. Old I remember years ago at Earwolf, we developed sort of our own style of editing and podcasting, and it was very different from radio. And in most cases it's just not so edited to death. But I remember this one show we did, and this radio guy, like in Chicago, who was like very like old school radio engineer, he called me up and it was some kind of collaboration. He was like, yeah, just send me the files, man. I got it. And I was like, okay, but we try to do it this way and there's this and this. He's like, I got it. Like, trust me, slice and dice. I know what I'm doing. He said that, slice and dice.
Slice and dice, bro.
And then what he sent back was so funny to me. It was exactly the old radio, like,
right,
the bone, like, coming at you. And it was like, all the edits were so crazy. It's like, whoa, that really is a template that they have. That just makes everything sound like that.
Sounds urgent and like desperately begging you not to change the channel, right? I mean, it's more intentional yeah. when you're listening to
and
a podcast.
And then the little radio voice like coming at you.
Yeah.
The weather, 97.7, the bone. And yeah. Just.
Yeah. Confetti. Audio.
What
confetti.
A lost moment audio where, confetti. Where radio gave way to podcasting.
You know what I mean? Right. Someone should like make a movie
Boogie
about
Nights.
It.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's get the PTA version.
Yeah.
All right. So as important as that movie was, you know, Scorsese, it came in at number two. So number what two. Comes in at Ouch. Number one?
Taylor.
Number one.
Taylor Eras. Swift, the Eras Tour. She knocked Scorsese off the top.
Unbelievable.
You know why? Because Flowers of the Moon is not an event. And that's what's bringing people back to the theaters is event movies. And this is an event.
I bet this is as long as the Scorsese film, too, if not longer.
Yeah, I think it
it's
is.
It's like 3 hours.
3 hours.
What?
It takes just as long to tell the story of Taylor's tour as it does to tell that important era of history.
She's on top.
Wow.
She's on top. She went straight from that tour to the movie of that tour to dating yeah. a Kansas City Chief.
And again, also, this movie is not, it isn't, it's not like an artistic statement as a documentary.
It's a rush
job. It's not taking you Slice backstage. It's not hearing the stories behind it or her talking.
Right.
It's literally just a filmed concert. That's
it's
all
like
it
if
is.
You couldn't afford a ticket to see yeah. it, we don't want you to be mad at Taylor. Movie, boom, give mm-hmm. us another, give us 25, we'll show it to you in movie form.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a day old donut or whatever they sell you at a discount. Right.
Well, I mean, she's setting a new template, you know, like the way Jaws invented the modern blockbuster. Mm-hmm. This is probably the new move now. You do the tour, you drop the movie for everyone that didn't see the tour, and it's just a whole new yeah. cycle.
But how many people can do that? I mean, Taylor
good
Swift can do it.
Good point.
Drake, Bad Bunny.
I think
Drake, Bad Bunny.
Metallica did that
Metallica.
One time.
Okay.
But it felt a little bit more limited. It was like a theatrical release
right.
following a tour, but yeah, I mean, nothing. Nothing as big as this.
Yeah.
I could see Ludacris getting away with it.
I could see, 3-6 Mafia.
3-6 sure. Mafia.
Crime Mob, even.
Ja Rule.
Ja Rule. Memphis Bleak, probably.
Oh, yeah. Daz and Corrupt.
Fat Joe.
Fat Joe.
I think Stained could
Big
do it.
Big Pun.
Big Stained. Pun, definitely.
Yeah.
Big Pun and Stained.
Big Pun and Stained.
Right, like the Jay-Z Linkin Park thing. Just like mashup.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Two concert films. It's like the Pink Floyd and Wizard of Oz watching the two
right.
together.
Right. Yeah.
Link them up.
Link them up.
So there we go.
Oh.
The movie charts.
That's what's bringing them back to the movies, and we'll be right back with the hot picks.
Welcome to Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high-profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Hot Picks. The Hot Picks. The third chart is the Hot Picks and the countdown's about to start. Let's see who bought a hot pick and let's see who did not. The Hot Picks. The Hot Picks.
These are the Hot Picks. We'll see if we did better than Spotify. I'll bet we did. Let's find out.
All right. Coming in number five.
Number five.
Howard's first pick. This is Kaylee with Can't Get 'Em featuring GloRilla.
Only run him cause I'm fucking him. You the type of bitch that blow his phone up while I'm ducking him. Got him down bad, why you trying to see what's up with him? Walk around his crib in just my panties, why you running round in love with him? He told me to tap in before he get to tweaking out. Mad I never fucked him, no he can't come to the house. Side hoes know to keep quiet, why the fuck you speaking out? You used to be my biggest fan, what's all this beef about? That nigga,
that nigga.
That nigga,
really?
That ain't your nigga. Bitch, that's my nigga.
Yeah, that's my shit.
I'm riding with him. I'm sliding with him.
I'm sliding.
And that's why every time you
call
him, you can't get him.
Now you can't have him.
Cause that's my nigga.
Real talk. Y'all ain't ready.
I wouldn't want to be that other girl.
Oh, man. No, no, no.
No.
No, no. There's competition for that, man.
I think I'm slinking away at that point.
Yeah.
That sounded great. You know, 15 years ago, I came up with the slang sliming. Like when someone's talking too much, I was like, you got to stop sliming. And I just would say it when I lived in New York. And it's funny that it's like, it's everyone says that now.
Do you think you started?
No, I'm not that delusional.
It could have hung around in the hipster community for a while and then made its way, you know, uptown or something.
Yeah.
I think it was just ripe. It was a word that was just ripe to be used.
Just in the air.
Yeah, it's you're just sliming. It's such a great word.
Sliming.
Slime.
Damn,
just slime.
You hear it everywhere.
Yeah.
I think you made slime happen.
I think I did too. I mean, Slimer probably, yeah.
Sometimes these things originate in strange places.
Yeah. Exactly. Are you calling me strange?
That's what it means? That it means you're talking too much? You're sliming?
No, I think it means something a little sexier now.
Okay. I heard that my friend who's on, who does a lot of like Broadway singing, she was saying in the Broadway, the musical community, the fan community, you know, cause you're not supposed to take videos of the shows. You're not supposed to post them. They're kind of hard to find a lot of times.
Yeah.
She was saying that the code word online is slime tutorial.
Whoa. Yes. So no, I saw that.
Yeah, I told you about that.
No, I was Googling something and it said slime tutorial. This might have been another show. Yeah.
So, you know, if you're YouTubing slime tutorial, that's how you find the, you know, underground footage of the musical you want to watch.
But now the secret's out.
That was your story. Yeah.
That can't still be a thing, right?
I think it is. I don't think I'm, you know, big enough to like ruin this.
Okay, yeah.
This whole black market.
Stop snitching, man.
Hey, yeah. I got the definition on sliming.
Oh yeah.
When you eat nippy cheese.
That's it.
Just kidding. But I have it for real. When you have a girlfriend, but you mess around with your side hose, I'm about to start sliming.
Oh, there so it's you like, go. Almost like being a slime ball.
Right.
Okay.
Wait, I got another one that you don't know about.
What's that?
What is Smexy?
Sexy Smexy. Mexican?
That's the first thing I
That's
thought.
That's a good word.
That's my... Mm. But it is something else. Smexy.
Smell. Maybe you smell Mexican food.
Interesting. And,
while you're having sex.
Gets you really hungry.
Yeah, while you're having sex, you rub Mexican food on. No, it is actually smart and sexy. And it it was launched... Smexy Books. Oh, no, that's just side stuff. But anyway, smart and sexy.
Smexy Books?
It said Smexy Books was launched.
There's a whole publishing house.
To provide reviews of romance novels. You go to Smexy Books.
Right. You want the writing quality to be a bit better, but still horny.
Yeah.
Makes
sense. That's a really romantic word. I could see that.
Yeah, it's definitely going to catch on.
You're really smexy.
Oh, he called me smexy. If he calls you smexy, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Sounds like a hate crime or something.
Yeah. Yeah. A slur.
On bended knee, called me smexy. All right. coming in at number four.
Number four.
This is my pick. I just heard this one. My Lady of Mercy with The Last Dinner Party.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I like it. She took us into a couple different places there.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Sounds a bit like Lena Lovitch. I don't know if you remember her, but a cool vocal style.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah, I liked how the verse was like this kind of angular, weird sort of arty thing. And then it went into this big, heavy chorus that I mm-hmm. didn't see coming. Pretty cool. I'll be checking it out.
Stuff, heady stuff. She's like a Saint Vincent or something.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. All right, come in at number three.
Number three.
This is Nick's pick. This is a remix, Fat Tony, BKNY.
Takes a second to drop.
Not from Houston, but I rap a lot. So with the bumper clock, I'm from Brooklyn. I wear Tempted shorts, I'm from Brooklyn. My best stop, bitch, you line you up, and my browser bitch, you be jixin'. My flatbush bitch, you be scamming. My Canarsie bitch, be fucking. My Busha bitch, cook me rice and beans, and my wings, but bitch, don't do nothing. No, I don't root for the Mets. Grew up in Brooklyn like Fetch. Where my feet lies with a string tie. Watching low life since he sex. Came up in the projects. Rapping niggas, you about the relic. I guess it up a little then. House party, biggie, give me one more chance. Cops came, shut it down. Somebody got shot again. Used to ride my Easter clothes and see I take the F line to the last stop. And you hop out while I still with F. Take your hit, sir. Save his arcade. And my favorite gang used to be in the turtle. Used to ride niggas down by Utica and phone cuts. School and fucking Hoochie, man. And shit was up on music. But before the DJ Coochie, I was all on my U. But shit, you couldn't blame me, man. I take it, Brooklyn, do it. Shout Houston. Shout Texas. Wow. Shout Tom Cruise. Bad shout Tom. It's like I wrote the verse of a stopper phone cup.
Sounds cool with those keys behind it.
Yeah. It's a great sample. Made by Tom Cruise, not the actor, the producer. And then that's Mr. Motherfucking Esquire, not Fat Tony, but he's jumping on the remix. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He had skills.
He's good.
And he took some shots at the Mets. I like that too.
Yeah.
They always lose.
Do you like hockey, Howard?
I just started to follow within the last sort of year and a half as the Kings, the LA Kings.
Okay, cool.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Do you?
I don't. I'm Canadian, and so it's always like expected that I am, but I truly don't follow it at all at all. But
okay.
There's this rapper from LA that's really good called Shimon Cassette. And
he's a good hockey player?
All he raps about is hockey.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like every song has a hockey reference. It's amazing.
I'll check that out.
Yeah, check it out.
Yeah, you know, if you're trying to get into any sport, it always just, you're better off with the local team because you're just going to always hear about them.
Yeah.
And you could hear it on the, you know, local media or whatever.
Yep, true.
So that would be the starting point, I would say. If you're trying to get into hockey, pick the local team.
I always enjoyed going to the games, matches, what do you call it? I would always go to Sharks games and stuff. It's so fun.
Oh, yes.
But I could never watch it on TV.
Yeah, it's great. Best sport live. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Kopitar, the best guy in the Kings, he just listed his house for $37 million.
Whoa.
You wouldn't think those guys are making that kind of
money. I'm surprised to hear that.
Yeah.
I went to a Kings game once. My friend somehow scored these tickets that were like right behind the glass. And we took a bunch of edibles before, which was like a huge mistake, but it was like sitting there behind the glass, just out of my mind. And then when the puck hits the glass close to you, it's like you feel like you're in warfare or something. It's
the
most intense thing ever. Yeah.
It's
so violent. It's so shocking.
It's so fast too. It is fun to watch live.
So fast.
Yeah.
They like, they're only out there for a few minutes because it's so, you know, tiring to go that fast up and down.
Yeah. Exciting. Do they still fight a lot?
Yeah.
Do you see that on TV?
They allow the fights for sure.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And there's a lot of exciting new rookie guys. There's like 18-year-olds and stuff that just do insane new shit. So it's cool.
New shit.
Yeah. Like there's a thing now where they carry the puck like on their stick for a second before they
Flip
it in.
Oh.
Yeah.
Whoa.
This crazy shit. And it's also, it's a lot less. They give room now to the genius guys to do their work. Like, it's not like it was 20 years ago where just like they'd send in an enforcer to just smash a guy.
Right.
Like, now they have all these talented guys, like Steph Curry type guys. So they want to be able to do their thing.
Do more like dazzling tactical things.
Mm. Yeah.
Cool. I want to see that. Okay. Coming in at number two.
Number two.
This is my second pick. This is GOAT. With I Became the Unemployment Office. Not sure.
Cool.
This was a hard album to pick a song for this show off of. Like, I feel like the album is more of a trip to listen to, but I highly recommend it. It's some really cool shit on it.
Yeah, it has like a Spaceman 3 kind of psychedelia. It's cool.
Psychedelic stuff. Some of their stuff is more like a lot of like kind of African rhythms to it.
Mm.
Sounds like it's from some other age.
Cool.
You know, like it's a really degraded kind of sound.
Mm-hmm. Hard edges.
Cool band. Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it.
And it's a cool animal too. Shout out to goats.
Demonic.
Oh, yeah, goats.
They got those sideways eyes.
Yeah.
I don't know how they got those.
And that's why dolphins got their sideways eyes.
Yeah.
My next album.
I was trying to think, like, are there any other animals with those sideways eyes?
Maybe a turtle or a snake?
No. Oh, maybe.
Sideways eyes would be a good ballad. Like hungry eyes.
Yeah, I like them.
Like far away eyes.
Or stones. Like, yeah, you're like sliming, you know?
Right. Oh, looking on the side. Yeah, for a side chick.
Yeah.
Sideways eyes.
Better than short eyes. We know what that is.
Okay, coming in at number one.
Number one.
Howard's final pick. This is a little band called the Rolling Stones with Get Close, featuring Elton John. I didn't know it featured him. Great drum sound.
You guys, I love it. Sound like a Stone song, didn't
yeah,
it?
That one stood out to me too, and I haven't heard the whole new album, but
I really like it. I mean, I like it. I don't know. I've heard a lot of the classic rock. You know, when a old band makes a record,
yeah,
this is really different. One of the best ones. It's like it's really alive, and it doesn't sound like stale. Like, oh, we're mailing this in at all. Like,
no, yeah. I hear a new. It's so crazy. Like the Stones have always been that band you talk about as being like old guys and wow, they're still doing it. Mm-hmm. But like, it's almost getting beyond crazy at this point because they're like 80 years old and they're putting out an album that sounds like rejuvenated. And Mick Jagger sounds younger somehow than he has in like 30 years.
Yeah, super strong.
Like he's like sort of screaming again. Like he's going for it. It's crazy.
So I assume that they had gotten like a young producer that somehow understood their sound or something. But then I looked it up. There's this guy, Andrew Watt. Do you know about him, Nick?
Vaguely. I've heard his name. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a producer guy. And he did, I forget the other records he did.
But he does young stuff, like, right? I mean, this is.
No, he's like a 31-year-old guy.
Right.
And he just produced a Stones album. I mean, that's pretty crazy. And he said that he wanted it to be live. He wanted it to have low end. And then he said he made Keith finish everything he was going to do before he brought Mick in to sing. Because he said that Stones is Mick fitting into Keith, not Keith fitting into Mick. And I was just like, wow. You know what I mean?
This
I wouldn't have had
it.
You know, if I would have just been like, do something that sounds like Honky Tonk Women. Like, I wouldn't have had an overview like that. You know?
Right, right.
But that was pretty impressive. And then, I don't know, the album, it really just sounds like a live, you know? It's just
Is he the one who did that last Ozzy album? I think he might be.
Maybe so. I'm trying to think of who
it was. There's another example of where I'm like, how did you...
Yeah.
Coax this voice out of Ozzy. Like,
out of Ozzy,
you're making him sound younger than he has.
He's
in
like
years.
The boomer whisperer or something.
Yeah. Yeah. He must be, he's got his finger on the pulse.
I mean, even
guys.
When Rick Rubin recorded Johnny Cash, he still sounded old. Like, how are they getting these guys
right.
to sound
right.
younger?
I know. Seriously, Johnny Cash was probably this age when he did that.
But
but
I think Rubin was going the other way with it. He was like, let's paint you as this frail old man.
Right.
It's no tricks.
Telling your last story before, like you feel like he's on the brink of, which, so yeah, this is going in the other way, which is interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy they can do it.
Yeah. There's they got their ballads in there, but I mean, I feel like it satisfies checks all the boxes when you're looking for a band to recapture their classic sound and, not go off in some new direction, but kind of just do what they did so well.
As best as you could expect, you know?
Yeah. Good for them.
Were you ever a Stones guy, 90s. Nick, or not so much?
I am not really. I have a fairly big blind spot for the Stones, but I like their failed Sergeant Pepper's album, Satan.
Yes, Satanic, I like Majesty's, that too. Request. Her Majesty's Request.
Yeah, yeah. It's, yeah, great. I think that's really great.
I always think that it gets bagged too much. Like, I understand in context at the time,
yeah,
it was a shameless Beatles ripoff.
Yeah.
And I don't think they could sustain that. Like, it, yeah, wasn't very authentic to them.
Yeah.
But it's got some great songs on it.
Yeah, totally.
Like, they're pretty good at it.
Totally. Yeah. No, I respect, but it's not, they're not like my guys, you know?
Yeah.
But.
I want to hear the Kinks. Maybe Andrew Watt should produce the Kinks.
Well, that'd, right, be cool.
Are you thinking because, yeah, Alan Watt, the Kinks song?
No, David Watt.
Yeah, see, David, that is really,
oh, sorry, David Watts. I'm thinking of Alan, yeah, Watts, yeah, yeah, the philosopher.
The philosopher, yeah, guy.
Get him involved, yeah, too.
No, but, yeah, I mean, even when
he can write the lyrics.
When I heard the Stones, I was like, oh, they got to do that with Van Halen. And then I was like, oh, I can't do it with Van Halen.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
Everybody's got to go sometime.
Yeah. But they did bring back Bill Wyman and Charlie Watts. Or is that possible? They're still alive?
Wait,
I read
Wyman is on this?
Like, on a couple of the tracks, they have the original rhythm section.
Really?
And they also have Stevie Wonder on the album on something. I don't know what.
Have you ever heard Bill Wyman's solo record, A New Fashion?
Yeah, the French. What's the,
yeah,
French?
Yeah, we listened to that one.
And Rockstar.
Yeah,
it's just so good.
So good.
Yeah,
yeah. We listened to that song on this.
Yeah, it was on
the show.
You did.
Yeah,
it's a great, great, like, hidden gem.
Totally.
Of that time.
Yeah,
yeah.
The title track is awesome too. Really good.
I'm gonna re-listen to that.
But
good stuff.
He also, what did you say? Short Eyes. I think he married a 13-year-old. So anyway.
Oh, yeah. Does he mention something about that in the song?
Yikes.
Didn't we find like there were some weird references in the song? That one or a different one?
That's a yikes for me.
That's a yikes.
I can't believe I didn't know that Bill Wyman was on this. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
I saw something with Keith saying that even like losing Charlie almost like made him closer with Mick again, just being like, oh, I got this like best friend who does the, you know what I mean?
I,
like,
see that.
Right. They almost like went into the album harder that,
yeah,
way.
Yeah. Puts things into perspective.
Yeah.
Too much perspective.
Too much fucking perspective. good stuff.
Good stuff. Nick, super fun to have you back on.
So glad to be here. You guys are
everybody
great.
Everybody should go get the album.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
If you're asking me, album, yes, you should go
and
get
that's
the album.
When
get the vinyl.
Yeah, go get it. Get the vinyl. Any NFTs attached to that one?
Every song has been minted on the blockchain. I'm holding out hope. Yeah.
Slurp? Is there like slurp juice with it or...
Is that a new, what is
slurp? Wasn't that a Bored Apes thing? You get like slurp juice or something?
Slurp juice.
Yeah.
Dude, I just saw Bored Apes beer at the liquor store 2 days ago.
Really?
Oh, wow.
It's like,
you know,
wow.
I feel like now it's just a brand. Now it's just, yeah, a brand, you know? It's
picked
like
it up and
we
dropped
got our
it.
Name out there.
That'll be
brand.
Like a, it's so solidly 2022.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing. I went as a Bored Ape for Halloween last year.
Wow.
And I saw a picture of that, like, oh my God, that was all last year.
Oh,
and it
my
just
God.
Belongs in last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
historical.
Funny.
You should get that beer. It'll be a relic.
They had a fast food restaurant too in like 30 miles south of here.
The Bored Apes. Bored fast Apes. Food.
Yeah.
You should all be in jail.
And that's when Dolphins lost their legs. Go out and get it, gang. And start. How about you? You got anything to promote?
Yeah. The Neighborhood Listen is coming back. It's we just put up a bonus episode on CBB World. So go to comedybangbangworld.com. Check that out. Go to improvforhumans.com. We just launched a new website that has a lot of cool stuff on it. And, of course, go to whochartedpod.com and you can support this show and you can hear the entire archive, over 666 episodes and all the, yeah, Preem streams, all the Two Charteds. And we still do Two Charted every week. you can unlock that.
Absolutely. And check out Griff Tours with Megan Beth Keister and myself and all the other programs. And we will see you right here next week on Who Charted.